You're listening to the WrestleHolics Podcast. Here are your hosts, Drew, DC Hendricks, and Manny T.
We are coming to you live from 1380 The Fan, bringing you all the latest in the world of professional wrestling. Before we get started, make sure to follow and subscribe to us on all social media platforms. Stay locked into exclusive content, updates, and behind-the-scenes takes. Let's get with the show.
All right, everybody. We're here with the WrestleHolics Podcast. Drew, DC Hendricks, and Manny T. We are joined by a special guest today as it is time. We're getting ready for WrestleMania 41, and we are very blessed to have a big guest to talk WrestleMania. We got to link up with him in person in Indianapolis at WrestleCon, and we are very excited to talk WrestleMania 41. We are joined by one of the hosts from Busted Open, and is the big reason, which we'll get into, why we are blessed to have Busted Open. I want to give a big shout out and a big welcome to Dave LaGreca of Busted Open Radio. Dave, thanks for coming on.
It's an honor. I appreciate you guys reaching out to me, and thanks for having me on the show. Thank you.
We definitely appreciate you for coming on. Before we even get started, can you let our fan base just know who you are and just give a little description of yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the host of Busted Open. Busted Open is a show on Sirius XM. We've been on the air for 15 years now. It's myself. We have, you know, we started out as 1 hour once a week, and now we're live 7 days a week. We're live on Sirius XM, but we're also available on podcast form, and we're available on YouTube as well. It's myself, Tommy Dreamer, Bully Ray, Mark Henry, Thunder Rosa, Nick Nemeth, and Baron Corbin is one of our newest members. So, we're into our 16th year on the air. So,
wow. Yeah. That's a heck of a roster just in general.
very lucky. And, you know, like I said, we've been on the air 16 years. So it's been great. It's been in June. It'll be 16 years in June. So,
yeah, so I want to start there. Like, you know, as we're breaking in ourselves into radio and as we're on airwaves now for Fox Sports Radio, you know, kind of talk about how you even got into Sirius XM and even convinced them, hey, like, you know, let's start this channel of Busted Open.
Well, I've worked in radio a long time. I worked at WFAN in New York. I worked at ESPN Radio in New York. I worked for the NHL. And when I first came to Sirius in 2004, I was working on their NFL channel, and it was just constant pitching of that. I think, you know, wrestling radio would work. And I always looked at wrestling like a sport. So I wanted to do like a sports talk radio format for pro wrestling. And, you know, I don't know if they were truly convinced. Like I said, they gave me, and it was my co-host at the time, Doug Mortman, you know, 1 hour once a week. And it just grew from there. I think you guys know better than anybody the popularity of pro wrestling, how big it is, how popular it is. It keeps growing every year. I think, you know, of all the time that we've been on the air, without a doubt, it's probably at its most popular right now since we started in 2009. So, you know, I think, you know, when I first started doing the show, there was no podcasts. Podcasting wasn't a thing yet. So there wasn't a lot going on. And then we've seen this community grow so much where there's so many radio shows, so many podcasts, and with YouTube and the growth of YouTube, it's been pretty incredible, you know, how big our community has grown. And one thing that you guys are, and that's why I always try to, like, when people reach out to me to come on, I always try to come on as the best that I can, because we're all part of the same community. You know, we're part of the wrestling community, so we kind of got to have each other's backs. Right. So I'm very proud of how much this community has grown over the last decade.
So to speak on the community, with wrestling being as big as it is, and seeing how pro wrestling fans are starting to integrate with watching like amateur wrestling, and with WWE being a big proponent of bringing in athletes of all kinds of calibers. You've got track athletes, wrestling athletes, amateur wrestling. I mean, just every kind. Like, what is your insight on all of that?
How do you feel? Well, I feel like, you know, it's probably come to the forefront now more than ever, but that's always been a part of pro wrestling since I can remember, since I became a fan. You know, I think there's always been the influence of outside sports. You know, I remember in the late 70s, early 80s, a lot of pro wrestlers were ex NFL players or college football players. And especially when I was younger, there was the influence of amateur wrestling. You know, Bob Backlund, Bob Roop, Vern Gagne, like there, a lot of them were influenced by amateur wrestling. So I know there seems to be this stigma on athletes outside of wrestling, but really, if you look back, the foundation of all pro wrestling has been amateur wrestling, former athletes from other sports. Like, I think people look at that as like a negative, but I think it's a real positive. You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. I think with independent wrestling, that hasn't really been something that's been at the forefront until like maybe the last 15 years. So,
yeah, so, yeah, well, I definitely go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say definitely with I actually have an amateur wrestling background. And like you said, I grew up watching all these wrestlers knowing their backgrounds. But like to the casual viewer, they think, oh, these guys are just, you know, from backyard wrestling or like the indies. But, you know, now with the internet being able to give us more information, people are starting to realize, you know, these athletes who are going out here were former athletes who, you know, found a niche where they could keep going, being athletic and showing off their quote unquote skills.
Yeah, no, and I think with amateur, especially a background in amateur wrestling, one of my hosts, Nick Nemeth, has a deep background in amateur. He was a world class amateur athlete in amateur wrestling. So I think that brings like a certain credibility, you know. And they don't use it as much. Like looking at Chad Gable or Kurt Angle. Like I think a lot of their credibility came from being amateur wrestlers or even Olympic wrestlers. I don't think they use it as much as they should, actually. I think they should talk more about that. But that used to be a big thing when I was a kid, is about like if you were an amateur wrestler, that brought credibility to your character.
Mm-hmm. A lot. I know growing up I used to watch Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. They were my favorite.
Learning
that they were wrestlers, that's actually what encouraged me to stay in wrestling, is watching these guys and be like, okay, if I stay in my amateur wrestling, you know, growing up being a wrestling fan, maybe that could be an avenue for me as I get older.
And think about how long, you know, Shelton Benjamin has been a wrestler.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or even like a Brock Lesnar, like so many of the wrestlers that have that amateur background, and it brings credibility. And the fact that you're saying that, like, you wanted to stay involved in it longer because of your love of pro wrestling, I think that's an amazing example of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It speaks volumes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're about close to a week away from WrestleMania. It's a lot of hype to this one. I'm just going to ask you, where does this rank in hype for you in the last few years?
It's funny. I just got finished with the Wednesday edition of Busted Open with Tommy Dreamer. And I don't think the build towards this year's WrestleMania has been great. Like, I think they've done a good job with Cena and Cody. I think they've done a good job with Roman, Punk, and Seth. And I think over the last week, they've done a good job with Jey Uso and Gunther, even though that took a long time to start building. But outside of that, I don't think there's been a strong build at all, especially in the women's division. I think the Charlotte and Tiffany have been on the wrong foot since day one. I really don't like the story going into the triple threat with Io, Bianca, and Rhea. I think they went a crazy roundabout way to get there. I love Io Sky. I actually think this match should just be between Rhea and Bianca, in my opinion. Like, I think that screams WrestleMania main event to me. I don't like what they've done with Liv Morgan. You know, here's somebody who was so hot a year ago. And I just don't think, especially on the women's side, that this build to WrestleMania has been a great one, actually.
So do y'all feel better now? Does it sound better coming from him now?
Yeah. Okay.
We all share the same sentiment as you. I think on the last three or four podcasts we've had, we've actually talked about the build for Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton. We've talked about the build for Io Rhea and Bianca, and just how it all doesn't feel right.
No, and it's just like I think they've taken a little bit of credibility away from the Rumble and from Elimination Chamber. Like, you know, Jey Uso won the Men's Royal Rumble. Michael Cole flat out says it's no longer a moniker. He's now the main event of WrestleMania, but he's not the main event of WrestleMania. You know, CM Punk wants to be in the main event of WrestleMania. That's great. This match doesn't need to be, in my opinion, a main event. Bianca Belair won Elimination Chamber. Why is it now a triple threat? Like, why? All right, now you had Io beat Rhea. All right, then the match should be Io against Bianca. Like, why is it now a triple threat? Like, and I feel like Rhea, who's one of your most popular wrestlers, period, in the WWE, she got her way into the match by whining and complaining. Like, it just seems real off to me. And we're, you know, just over a week away from WrestleMania, and Liv Morgan is, you know, and Raquel are your tag team. We don't even know who their opponents are going to be yet. So, like,
they don't even have any yet.
Friday.
They don't even have an opponent yet.
Yeah, Friday we'll know.
Yeah, we'll know on Friday. So we'll know
Bailey, like, and Ira.
Lyra. Yeah, so we'll know, like, we'll know basically 9 days before WrestleMania who their opponents are going to be. So you're not going to have much of a story with that. So I feel, especially on the women's side, that it's been a little lackluster. And what it reminds me of, and it's funny that Cena's in the main event, it reminds me of the time when Cena was champ, that they would only really care about the top of the card, and then the rest of it, let it just fall where I feel like we're getting that again. And this is such a big contrast to, like, what I thought was an awesome build to WrestleMania 39 and WrestleMania 40.
Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about, because I know you guys on Busted Open have been really focusing on the Charlotte Tiffany build. You guys have been discussing that a lot, and I know everybody online has been really critical of that. But, like, we haven't been able to, like, really come up with a scenario on how we would have done things different. Like, what do you think has been the biggest issue with the Charlotte Tiffany storyline?
Now, I don't know if this is a fact. This is just my guess. I was thinking maybe they thought that Charlotte was going to be the babyface and Tiffany was going to be the heel. And, you know, I thought Charlotte got a really good reception winning the Royal Rumble. But I can understand fans, and I'm a big Charlotte fan. I'm a huge Charlotte. All you got to do is listen to the show to know that. Mm-hmm. But I understand that there's been some backlash, because I feel like, kind of like Cena back in the day, Roman, like, I feel like a lot of fans think that Charlotte's being shoved down their throat. And I can understand that. She just comes back and she wins the Rumble. So I totally get that. On the other side, Tiffany has only been on the main roster like not like a year.
Not even close to a year.
Not even a year. So, like, what's the rush putting Tiffany in this position? So I just feel like, I think the fans are definitely behind Tiffany Stratton, but I think it's been, and I'll use last Friday as an example, whenever you ever seen the babyface hit a line like Tiffany did on Charlotte and then bail from the ring and run, like, the segment ended with your heel in the middle of the ring. It should be the other way around. It should be Tiffany in the middle of the ring and your heel bailing. Like, I just feel like this whole build has been off. Now, I'm a Charlotte fan. I love Charlotte. I think Charlotte is very underappreciated by the fans. She's an amazing athlete. But I think she got exposed on the microphone on Friday. I don't think there's any doubt of that. She got exposed on the mic. She let that crowd get the best of her. She kind of chased the hug a little bit with the crowd. And I think she got blindsided by what Tiffany said. On the other side, Tiffany, you hit the knockout punch and then you bailed. It just feels like this whole build has been off. And I don't think that either Tiffany or Charlotte has been put in the best position to succeed. And I just don't think so. So
I think that we touched on last Friday on our latest podcast where, like you said, I mean, Tiffany delivered a blow and just dipped out. But that's where you stand. That's where you stand your ground. It's you like the little face. Sister.
You go. Yeah. You know what you do? You go nose to nose and hit that line.
Yes.
You don't do it as you're bailing out of the ring like that. Just look. That makes you look weak.
Yeah, it's like little sister type stuff that she pulled. She, you know, you go, you hit your big sister, and then you take off running. That's a heel move. And seeing the baby face do that, it kind of gave it a different layer, and I was like, I wasn't really feeling it.
And I think they kind of painted themselves in the corner where it's like, there's no way Charlotte can win at WrestleMania. Like, if Charlotte wins at WrestleMania, people are gonna be angry. Yep. So all right, then Tiffany wins. But if Tiffany wins, where do you go from there? Because like the whole, why is Tiffany the champ? Like, they should have had, like, I feel like it should be, this is a chance for Tiffany to, like, Tiffany should be chasing the gold, not defending the gold. It just seems weird that, as you said, Drew, somebody that's been on the main roster for less than a year is the champ, and it's like the champion's chasing the challenger. Mm-hmm. It should be the other way around, like challenger chasing the champion. I don't know, though. It just feels completely off.
Do you feel like they rushed the progression of Tiffy by doing this?
I think so, yeah. I think they did. I feel like – I honestly feel like at WrestleMania, we should have gotten the rubber match with Rhea. Mm-hmm. To me, it should be Rhea. Charlotte should have went after Rhea, and then you could have did something else with Tiffany or something along those lines. But like, I don't know. It's just missing something. Neither one of the women's matches to me feel like a WrestleMania main event. Now, if it was Bianca and Rhea, that screams main event to me. Like Charlotte and Rhea, that screams main event to me. Io, Bianca, and Rhea, the way that they did it, it doesn't feel like a main event. And Charlotte and Tiffany is no way a main event. So I think they went the wrong direction. I really do.
Yeah. As someone that loves Io too, like I can admit, like it felt like they just had to find a way to get her on the card. And so this was the route that they chose.
Yeah, I guess. Or make it like where it's Bianca versus Io, where like Io beat Rhea, and then like Bianca was so focused on Rhea that she doesn't take Io seriously, and then you have Io beat Bianca at WrestleMania. Like, to me, it's like, what are you doing? Rhea's like Rhea and Bianca going into this story were two of your most popular wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Now you've had the fans turn on Bianca. Like, the fans have turned on Bianca. And, like, I think it's actually hurt Rhea a little bit. Because if you don't have Io win, then what did you do this for? Like, you know, why did you do this for? And then, like, you're going to have Io have this big WrestleMania moment at the expense of Bianca and Rhea. I just find that weird. I think that's off. Like, I'm not a big fan of it. I'm really not.
I think I mentioned before, getting the rematch, the championship rematch between Io and Bianca's NXT title-esque. And I think to take that rematch and put it in the WrestleMania main event, I think that would have been a lot better than this triple threat match or even Io and Bianca. Because I would love to see them run it back in a title match like they did in NXT. Because that match was phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways that you could have gone. I just don't think... And I don't know what the rush is for Tiffany. So in less than a year, she wins the women's championship and she's in a match at WrestleMania. Like, it just seems a lot very, very quickly. And you could damage somebody that way. And this story, like, the fans are going to be behind Tiffany, but I don't think they did Tiffany a lot of favors here.
No. Yeah, because she won Money in the Bank, and then she won the title, and now she's in a championship match all within a year. And then within that year is when she came up to the main roster too. That's a really fast push to the top.
That's a crazy fast push to the top. So,
yeah.
And again, it feels like she's chasing Charlotte instead of the other way around. Like, I don't know. Charlotte's the one who won the Rumble and should be chasing Tiffany. And it just feels like Tiffany's chasing Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte's the one who chose Tiffany. So it's weird.
So, like I said, with a week going, excuse me, with the week approaching, is there like one match where you feel like there should have been a more build up to or more attention to?
Gosh, that's a great question. I feel like I felt that way about Jey Uso and Gunther, but the last week they've really heated that up a lot. It's weird with the Seth Rollins, Punk. And Roman, it's really based around the favor. Kind of, I just feel like on the women's side, they should have done a lot better job of building. So I would probably say the women's matches probably be, yeah. I
and think then you so. Got your then you got your two women's mid-card champions that, like as of right now, don't even have a match.
No,
that you just gave a title to,
yeah,
a couple months ago.
And also, it's crazy that El Grande Americano just got a WrestleMania match
out of nowhere, and like, I just feel like that's crazy. And I also feel like, listen, you're getting Naomi and Jade, which yeah, I think is going to be another. But really, Naomi's problem's not with Jade; it's with Bianca.
Right.
You almost feel like that match should be Naomi and Bianca.
Oh true. Yeah.
True.
Dude, that, I'm not gonna lie, that really did confuse me at one
point.
I'm just like, shouldn't Bianca bounce back to this storyline? Or like it's like they cut the storyline for Bianca, but just left them two there where really she's a main character in all this.
Yeah, because Naomi's not really like angry at Jade. She attacked Jade because of the attention Jade was getting. But Naomi's really upset at Bianca and vice versa. And it's just like, all right, let's put this on pause. Because we got to get to Bianca winning Elimination Chamber and facing, you know, Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. Like, yeah. I just don't get it. And then Bianca's getting booed right now.
Yeah.
But like, but she's in a feud with Naomi, who just turned heel. So it's like really confusing to me.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like, so I wanted to get your opinion on this, too. I know I sent it to you yesterday. So I just did an article for Screen Rant about five superstars that don't have a match at WrestleMania. And one scenario that you kind of created in my head, like even just from you talking today. And one of the people I put on my list was Nia Jax after the year she just had as well. I mean, pretty much saved her career in wrestling. You know, she wins Queen of the Ring, which was a big deal. She goes to Crown Jewel. She ended up losing, but she elevated two women during her title reign in Tiffany and Candice. But who would you say would be a superstar for you? And you can choose one woman or man. What superstar would you say that's left off the card would you add?
Oh, left off the card? It's, man, it's a tough one. Who are the five that you mentioned?
So I mentioned my number one was Chelsea Green, was my number one. My number two was Carmelo Hayes. My number three was Nia Jax. My number four was I know the Wyatt Six were on there. They were number five.
They haven't been on TV.
Yeah, I know. But
At all.
I know. I know they've been dealing with the injury, but I mentioned it's just one person that's injured. They could easily still be on TV.
Agreed.
So yeah, those are a few I named.
I mean, Chelsea Green's a great one. I mean, Chelsea Green has had one hell of a year. Chelsea Green, I think, like she for a long time was like must see on Monday Night Raw. You know, she's a champion, and she's not going to have an opportunity to defend that championship, even though it's a two night WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Another person, I know she's half of the tag team champions, but like we talked about, they don't even have an opponent like Liv Morgan. Even though she's on the card, like Liv Morgan, you know, 6 months ago was one of the biggest wrestlers in the WWE. Mm-hmm. You know, think of where she was at SummerSlam in that match with Rhea. I mean, she beat Rhea, you know, and like when she won the championship, people were like crazy excited about it. And here we are just 6 or 7 months later, and she's part of a tag team that nobody really cares about, you know? And they're going to have a match at WrestleMania, but, like, we don't even know who the opponents are going to be. So, like, I feel like, you know, there's people on the card that probably don't deserve to be on the card, and then there's people on the card that I wish they had a story big enough to make it a WrestleMania match. Like you said with Chad Gable, that just started like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That just started a couple weeks ago. So.
I remember my last one. I forgot my last one. It was Fraxium. I said it would have been a great way. So, I mean, one of the best tag teams in the world right now, very likely end of their tenure in NXT. And what a great way to help revive a struggling tag team division by calling up one of the most exciting that you have and having them in like a TLC tag team match.
Well, it's funny you mentioned like thinking of NXT. Another person who, as of right now, is not on Stand and Deliver or WrestleMania, Roxanne Perez.
Yeah.
Like she carried that women's division for a long time on NXT. And here we are WrestleMania weekend and she's not in a match on any brand. So you got, you got NXT, you got two nights of WrestleMania and Roxanne Perez's name is not on the card anywhere, at least for right now.
They could have even put her in the six person ladder match for the North American title and still didn't pull that trigger.
She had her chance. She lost.
Yeah. So, like, as of right now, she's not a part of any show. That's crazy, because coming out of the Rumble, I was thinking, who knows? Maybe we see Roxanne Perez at WrestleMania, but we're not even seeing her at all the entire weekend. Pretty crazy.
Good point.
Yeah, I personally thought she was going to win the Rumble. That was that would have been the biggest swerve in my time ever watching wrestling. If someone come from NXT and just win. I was happy that she was the last two in the ring.
But think of that. She's one of the last two in the ring, and she's not, crazy.
Yep. I 100% agree with you.
It just seemed like a lot of missing spots now, right? Like missing people, missing spots. I'm just like, I'm still interested, but I feel like I'm going to have to really love this WrestleMania compared to last year.
Yeah, I think what the WWE is figuring on is how each night is going to end. So you're going to have the Seth Roman Punk situation. That's going to be some kind of crazy end that people are going to remember. And then you got Cena and Cody. So I think they're probably figuring on that the only thing that people are really going to remember are the main events.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was just going to say with Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and Roman, I heard you say a couple of days ago that you feel like Seth Rollins was the third wheel. Do you still feel like that, or has your mind changed since Monday?
It's a little bit different after what I saw Monday night on Raw with Seth and Heyman. I think that's the best we've heard Seth Rollins on the microphone in a very long time. I'm just not a big fan, and I said it on the show today. If you look at Stand and Deliver – you know, three out of the five matches are multi-person matches. Then you look at WrestleMania. Your main event is a triple threat. Your women's world championship match is a triple threat. Your intercontinental match is a four-way for the intercontinental. It just seems like it feels like they're just like, for the lack of a better word, kind of lazy putting these matches together. Like to me, again, like just like I said about Rhea and Bianca. Man, imagine if the match was just Punk and Roman with Heyman not being able to choose between Punk and Roman. I feel like Seth has done a better job, but I felt like Seth was like a fourth wheel last year, and I feel like third wheel this year. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, so I wanted to focus too, because we haven't really got to talk about it a lot, but like one storyline that I think they have done well in terms of the build, and I would say there's only one thing missing. I do like what they're doing with Cody Rhodes and John Cena. I think, and I've been saying this to the fellas, it's like the only thing I'm missing is The Rock. Like that's the only thing, like I'm missing the connection and why John Cena's aligning with The Rock.
Well, because Cena hasn't explained why yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my guess is that The Rock was able to get him in Elimination Chamber, because Cena didn't earn his way into Elimination Chamber. He was on a losing streak for the most part. So, like, if John Cena was to say, you know what? The only reason why I was in Elimination Chamber is because I sold out to The Rock, and The Rock got me in. But they haven't said that. So, like, you're right. We, you know, we got, as of the time that we're taping this podcast, we got two more SmackDowns and one more Raw. We have not seen The Rock since Elimination Chamber, and John Cena has not explained why he aligned himself with The Rock. And we got three more shows left before we get to WrestleMania. So,
yep. And he just now explained, you know, why he's picking on Cody, you know, or why he turned on the fans and stuff like that. It took him 4 weeks to do that.
And that I liked. I mean, I think Cena's done a really good job, and I think Cody's done a good job. Like, I'm really interested in this match, but, like, I just feel like they've only scratched the surface, and we're a week away from WrestleMania. So maybe they do something in the next week that makes us think differently about it. But that's what I mean about the build. It just feels like it's almost incomplete in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they've got a lot of holes to fill in the next two weeks, next three shows.
Not even 2 weeks. You know, we got a week and a half before at WrestleMania. So,
looking at the card, you know, there's obviously going to be some surprises. I'm thinking that's what we're going to have to get some excitement out of this, by just getting surprises. And one of those, I think Dominic Mysterio is one of my predictions. I'm going to go ahead and just say it on here. I think Dominic is winning the Intercontinental Championship. I think that's why it's a Fatal 4-Way. We'll see. But, like, what are some surprises that you're expecting to come out of this?
I'm bringing up the card right now, and I totally agree with you on Dom Mysterio. I think, like, if you're going to keep Dom Mysterio hot, he's got to win a match.
Yes.
So I feel like this is the perfect one, because he doesn't have to do any heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. It could definitely be something where, you know, Finn Balor gets the offense, or something happens, or Penta, and then Dom steals the victory and becomes the Intercontinental Champion. And I love the fact of being able – how great is TV going to be? Just like with Chelsea Green as your United States Women's Champion, if Dom Mysterio is your Intercontinental Champion. So I think that's going to be one of the surprises. Also, I feel like since Jey Uso's not going to be the main event, and he had that moment at the Rumble with 75,000 fans eating, I don't think Jey Uso's beating Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. And here's why. I actually think, and it makes perfect sense if you think about it, I think Jey Uso is going to get himself disqualified. I think he's going to beat the living hell out of Gunther, because Gunther, I mean, there was blood on Raw. So if you're going to have blood on Raw, have some blood on WrestleMania. Have Jey Uso beat the hell out of Gunther, leave him a bloody mess, and he gets disqualified and doesn't win the World Heavyweight Championship. But now Gunther fears Jey Uso.
You could definitely see it in his face when Jey was like, I got to get you now. And we're getting that old Jey Uso, that the reason he was called the right-hand man, when he was staring Gunther in his face, he said, you got my brother, now I got to get you. I was like, there's the turning point in this build that we needed.
And here's the other thing, too.
Promo.
Yeah, and listen, since it's not the main event, nothing that happens is going to be bigger than him winning the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
Like, it's not going to be the same. It's going to be less than. Like, if it's in the middle of the show, or it's the start of WrestleMania and he wins and he wins the World Heavyweight Championship, you're not finishing it like you did the Royal Rumble. So I think you can have some creative freedom here where he gets disqualified and then keep this story going. Because if Jey Uso just beats Gunther, then what's next for Jey Uso?
Exactly.
But you also, what's next for Gunther after he wins?
Yeah. Well, but if Jey Uso gets disqualified, you could keep this story going.
Gotcha.
So you could keep Jey Uso and Gunther going. And man, like I, because they've only kind of heated it up last Monday. Mm-hmm. I like what I'm seeing between those two. I don't mind that they decided to keep it going. Now, do I think that's going to happen? Probably not, but it would be a really cool surprise if it did. I like it.
I could see Jay winning that Backlash. You know, like you say, getting disqualified at WrestleMania, and Gunther kind of just like limping out and being scared of him, and then them scheduling the rubber match for Backlash, and Jay getting his win there. I think that's more, I would say, predictable, but even more logical too.
Yeah, I just feel like that. Other than that, guys, I really don't look at any other matches where there could be like a big surprise. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, all right, you got Tiffany and Charlotte. I think Tiffany's going to win that. AJ Styles and Logan Paul. Like, it's going to be a fun match.
You didn't even mention that.
I don't. It's going to be a fun match, but it's like, does it matter? LA Knight and Jacob Fatu. Unfortunately, that United States Championship doesn't mean a lot. Like, Nakamura was champion. I forgot that Nakamura was even champion.
I forgot like a that lot match of was us. Even on. Yep.
That United States Championship is cold. Like, we talked about the Women's Tag Team Championships. Jade Cargill and Naomi. Again, it's not – I don't think it's between Jade and Naomi. It should be Naomi and Bianca. Rey Mysterio and El Grande Americano. Who cares? Like,
so about that match, I would have rather liked seeing them bring back something. So we've got so many wrestlers that have wrestled on Lucha Underground, correct? I would have liked in that box, it was the coin to the gift of the gods. And that's what Chad Gable has. But he wrestles as Chad Gable. And the only reason no Lucha can beat him now is because he's got the gift of the gods. I think that angle would have been so much better, because you've got Ray, you've now got Penta, you've got Chelsea Green, you've got all these superstars that have wrestled for Lucha Underground who are prominent mainstays on Lucha Underground. And Chad Gable's struggling to beat a Lucha Libre. What other way to do it than give him the gift of the gods?
Well, I think if you had time to tell a story, but they just introduced this. Like, I don't know. I mean, you know what I thought we were going to see at Mania? Mm-hmm. I thought it would be a great match, and it would be a passing of the torch match. Rey Mysterio against Penta. You had Rey Mysterio against Penta? I'd be like, holy shit. Like, that's a WrestleMania match. And like, I know they're both, but it's like Penta, lifelong dream coming to the WWE. Mm-hmm. Rey Mysterio was like a hero to him and a mentor to him. And now you have, you know, Rey Mysterio, who's a Hall of Famer, on his way out, like a passing of the torch match between him. Because Rey has already wrestled the Sun. He's already done that. He's done everything you could possibly do. Mm-hmm. Imagine what that would do for Penta to have that kind of match. And there's two ways you could go. You could have Penta beat Rey Mysterio and a passing of the torch, or you have Rey Mysterio beat Penta and Penta turns on Rey Mysterio. Where that would, imagine that story coming out of WrestleMania, where you have a story between Rey. Who cares about this?
Yep. Same sentiments.
Who cares?
That was especially actually one of my favorite matches, was Rey and Penta in the Lucha Underground.
I mean, talk about Lucha Underground, like, there you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're thinking this up on the fly. We're coming up with this on the fly. They have time to come up with this stuff.
They get paid full time to do this.
Paid full time.
Yeah, nonetheless, though, you know, it's still a big weekend. You know, it's a busy time for us. We're still excited. Otherwise,
Come on. Like, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, WrestleMania, it's kind of like the Super Bowl. Your team doesn't make the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the Super Bowl, you know? Right. So you celebrate, you have a party, you have people over. It's a great time. Even though
still going to watch it.
You're still going to watch. Of course you're still going to watch. And if you're lucky enough to go, if you can afford it, and, you know, you had to sell your house in order to get tickets.
Yes, indeed.
Take
out a third mortgage.
We were close. We were close this year.
Yeah.
But
we actually got denial letters, so we're getting closer.
You know what? Watch from home. It's better. And then, you know, but like, it's still going to be great. It's going to be great for people out in Vegas. There's parties and events all week long. I mean, there is nothing better than WrestleMania. There's nothing better than WrestleMania. So it's just like the Super Bowl. It's like, you know, your team, you may not care about either team, but it's still a celebration of football. This is a celebration of pro wrestling. I'm excited about it. And there's still, and like I said, there's matches I'm excited about. I just feel like it could have been a much better build than what it is.
Same. That's what we've been talking about. And speaking of parties, I know Busted Open's got a lot going on in Vegas. Go ahead and promote everything you guys got going on.
Thanks. We got a live master's class at the Legends Club at Circa on Thursday at 4 p.m. Myself, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, Bully Ray, and our special guest is going to be Ric Flair. And then on Saturday, we're having a party at the Infinity Nightclub at Wynn, 11 a.m., and it's going to be myself, Bully, Mark, Tommy, Denise Salcedo, Thunder Rosa, Nick Nemeth, special guest D'Lo Brown, The Godfather, Natalia. Like, so that's on Saturday. So, and both events, because, and this is something, guys, that I fight for every year. I try to keep it free, and both these events are free. So if you're in Vegas, and I know, man, you're putting out, you're spending a lot of money. you're spending a lot of money out there in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm lucky enough that I'm doing it to work, but it's still costing me an arm and a leg, and I'm and I don't have to pay for tickets because it's just, you know, Vegas is expensive, man.
I don't know.
So we're listen, keep it light on the pockets. You can come to the Busted Open event, not have to spend a dime.
Heck yeah. Yeah, that's why we're excited for the Indianapolis WrestleMania, because we all three of us live in Indiana, and when that comes here, we're going to be down there all week.
Yeah. 100%. And that's the year after next, right?
And that's indeed,
the rumor.
That's the rumor. 2027. So then we got,
next year is New Orleans, which I'm excited about. New Orleans is like, I mean, I'll say this right now. The two best places to have an event, a sporting event, New Orleans and Indy. Those are the two best for a sporting event. The two best cities are New Orleans and Indy. Everything is walking distance. When you walk into the city, you know, like, I live in Jersey. So if there's an event in New York kind of swallows it up. Like, you would never know. But New Orleans and Indy, they do it right. Those are two of my, without a doubt, my two favorite cities for a sporting event are Indy and New Orleans. And hopefully that's going to be our next two WrestleMania cities.
Yep. I definitely liked what they did in Indianapolis for the Rumble with the names, the changing of the street names and whatnot, putting the big banner on the crosswalk. It definitely, our state definitely embodied, you know, the culture and bringing in wrestling.
And it's one of my favorite cities for us. I was lucky enough to go to a Super Bowl in Indy, and it was the same thing for the Super Bowl. They did it upright, man. They do it upright.
Before we go, is there anything else you like to say? Any shout outs or anything?
Nah, I'm just glad you guys had me on. You know, I appreciate it, man. Like, you guys keep doing it. You guys keep killing it. You know, I appreciate you taking the time to have me on today. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on as well. Before we go, I just want to tell everybody, make sure to follow all our social medias. Make sure to follow and subscribe. Also, don't forget to listen to us on 1380 FM. DC, Manny?
Again, Dave, go ahead and plug your socials. Let people know where they can follow you guys and Bust It Open.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. On socials, it's at Busted Open Radio, and you can follow me at David LaGreca, the number one. So, you know, follow it. I try to stay off of Twitter. It's too toxic, but it's accessible, man. It's hard.
I get on, share my articles and share my podcast and get right back off.
That's it, man. I do. I'm with you. I post about the show, and then I get off. man, and people get it wrong. Like, and like I posted on Friday, I was like, point Tiffany Stratton, and I put like a GIF of Tiffany Stratton. People are like, man, you know, you're just kissing Charlotte's ass, and I'm like, did you not read my tweet?
Had nothing to do with
it. Nothing to do
like
with
I
what
just
you
said. Point Tiffany Stratton.
Kudos, I'm making tag to you.
Nobody reads anymore, Dave. Nobody reads.
You know what the best thing to do on Twitter is? Not block, mute.
Mute. Yes. Yes. I tell them all the time.
So they don't stay. They think they're talking to you, and you don't see any of it.
No.
I have had a friend on there for like 15 years on mute, so I understand. And this is the WrestleHolics Podcast. We'll get back with you.
Thanks for listening to the WrestleHolics Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are available.